We're going to get this next segment started with a tweet. On March 22nd, 2019, a Twitter user named Robin Beth Scher tweeted, "My friend and her husband lived in an apartment that had a soap dispenser installed on the edge of the kitchen sink. When they moved out after 2 years, he marveled to her, 'It's amazing how that dispenser never ran out of soap in all this time.'" Women's work is truly invisible. Robin followed up that tweet with the end to the story, writing, "She never told him the truth. He still thinks wistfully of that amazing, magical soap dispenser they once had." This story got more than 100,000 likes on Twitter, and hundreds of people replied, sharing their own experiences. There's a name for this kind of thing: realizing that the soap dispenser needs to be filled, or remembering relatives' birthdays, or knowing that you have to find the right summer camp for your kid months in advance. It's called cognitive labor, and research shows that women in heterosexual partnerships do most of it. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this kind of thing in your relationship? Have you and your partner found a way to make the mental workload equal? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Allison Dominger is a doctoral student in sociology and social policy at Harvard University. Her work focuses on how societal inequities affect family dynamics. Her paper, "The Cognitive Dimension of Household Labor," breaks down the gender gap in cognitive labor. Allison, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us. What is the definition of cognitive labor? How do you explain it to people?
The way that I think about it is having four components that unfold over time in a process. The first is anticipation. The second is identification, then decision-making, and then monitoring. And just to give you an example of how those break down, anticipation would be something like recognizing that we're running low on soap, as in the example that you cited, or that we need to have dinner tonight and don't yet have a plan. Then you need to identify some options for meeting whatever need you've anticipated. Like, I could order some more soap from Amazon, or I could unfreeze the lasagna that I put in the freezer last month. Next is making a decision or choosing among the options you've identified. So I'm going to stop by Target on my way home from work, or I'm going to call in a pizza order. And then finally is monitoring. That's the follow-up work of making sure that whatever you decided on was executed successfully and met your need. So did the Target I stopped by have the soap I wanted, or do I need to stop by somewhere else? Did my spouse remember to put in the pizza order in time? Things like that.
And you have found that these different tasks, some of them are actually generally shared between heterosexual couples, but then some of those four elements that you just described fall more toward women.
Exactly. So I looked at those four components and I found that in most cases, decision-making was shared between members of the different sex couples that I interviewed. So not necessarily at the level of what's for dinner, but if it were something with financial implications or longer term consequences, most of the time couples would decide together. Now, the pre-work of getting to that decision stage was often more gender unequal. So for instance, the work of noticing, anticipating, remembering, monitoring, that all tended to be much more female-dominated. So women are more likely to remember that a birthday is upcoming. They're more likely to, notice that they're running low on a food item, that it's time to register for summer camp, etc.
We've got John from Madison on the line who's ready to join our conversation. Welcome to the Ideas Network, John.
Hi. I was calling to just say that my wife definitely does do the majority of the cognitive labor in our relationship, but we can help, and we do these things with like yard work, or if we need some kind of maintenance done for a system in our house or something like that, we're doing a lot of that stuff too. And I just wonder if those bigger things that they have, you know, a lot of like huge consequences if you don't maintain your systems in your home. Those can weigh heavily on guys too.
Yeah. John, thanks for bringing that up and talking about the fact that Allison, your research doesn't show that men don't have any level of mental load. It just appears that women carry more of the burden. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to John's point, I found that the work of, you know, maintaining the home and the lawn and sometimes the long-term finances were the two areas that were the least female-dominated on the cognitive dimension. So as John pointed out, you know, men are often realizing, oh, it's time to replace this part on the lawnmower and things like that. I did, however, find that, you know, a lot of that work is at least somewhat, you know, discretionary, right? You can save it for the weekend or for a convenient time, whereas a lot of the everyday stuff of making sure food's on the table and the kids are dressed and the clothes that they need, that tended to be more female-dominated.
You asked the couples you talked to explain why they think there's this imbalance in the mental workload. What did they tell you?
Over and over again, I heard that it's about our personalities. So they would say something like, she's type A and really organized, and he's laid back and relaxed. And that's why, you know, she manages the calendar, she is on top of vacation planning, and he does whatever she delegates to him. And I didn't find this credible for a couple of reasons. So first, a lot of these men had day jobs that required a high degree of organization, whether, you know, being surgeons or project managers or things like that. So it seemed more like it was something about the context. And further, we know from broader studies about gender and personality that in terms of, you know, things like organization, men and women on average are not all that different.
And so these couples are interpreting what's going on in one way, but when you look at it scientifically, you're saying there's a bit of a disconnect here, and that might be more related to our expectations of different genders?
I think it's a complicated set of factors. So our expectations of men and women, for instance, is huge, right? So mothers in our society, for better or worse, are often held accountable when things go wrong with the children or the family. And that gives them extra incentive to be organized and be on top of things so that they're not letting things slip through the cracks. And then there's also, you know, childhood socialization, the way that we raise our girls and our boys to, you know, be neat and quiet or messy and loud. All of those things play a role in shaping our sense of self and ultimately the roles we play in our romantic relationships.
We're talking with Allison Dominger, who's a doctoral student in sociology and social policy at Harvard University. And we are talking about the idea of mental load and why it falls primarily to women when you look at heterosexual relationships. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you experience this in your own relationship or have you seen it in other people's? Maybe you've had trouble even explaining what tasks are included in the mental workload to try to explain why you're spending so much time and energy on things your spouse might not fully understand. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. This conversation continues here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with Allison Dominger. She's a sociologist studying how social inequalities affect family dynamics, including an unequal division of labor between heterosexual partners. We want to know what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you feel that you take on the mental workload? How have you effectively explained it to your partner? Or do you think it's always been this way, so it's just going to be this way for yourself? Call 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Allison, research has established that married women do more housework than their male partners. A 2019 study found that women married to men spend more time on housework than single moms do. A 2011 Pew study found that women do twice as much childcare as their male partners and spend 8 hours more per week on household chores. Does this inequality in physical housework also play a role in the cognitive labor gap?
That's a really great question, Keely. I think partly yes. So for one, the cognitive and physical work in the house is often intertwined. If you are deciding what to make for dinner, it's often easiest for you to then actually chop the vegetables or go shopping. So because there's this close entanglement between physical and cognitive labor, the partner who's doing more of the physical chores, like cooking and cleaning and shopping, is often also the one who's doing more of the cognitive labor. The other issue that I'd mention, though, is that I think increasingly many of us are recognizing that housework and childcare should be, ideally we'd like them to be, shared equally. And the mental load or cognitive labor is not quite as often talked about, which means that when couples are working on, you know, dividing up tasks and trying to reach equity in their relationship, this often falls through the cracks. And so what I often see is couples who have done a pretty good job of living up to their own ideals on the physical labor front. They share the cooking and cleaning pretty equitably. But then on the cognitive labor front, they're much more traditional because it's not something that they've discussed or really thought about as a core part of running their household and raising their children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about this concept that some men have admitted to? They say, well, if you tell me what to do, I can do it. I mean, that is putting the mental load on your female partner, right?
Exactly. So one study calls this the manager-helper dynamic, right? Where implicitly you're saying, by asking your wife or your female partner to tell you what to do, you're suggesting that it's ultimately her responsibility. She's in charge. She's responsible for figuring out what needs doing. And that is not really a partnership model. It's more of a, you know, manager helper or supervisor supervisee relationship, which may work for some people, but for many of us, that's not necessarily our ideal in a romantic partnership.
We're talking with Allison Dominger, who's a doctoral student at Harvard University, and her work focuses on how societal inequalities affect family dynamics. And we're discussing the role of mental work in our relationships and how it feeds into how we take care of our families. And we've got Cynthia in Richland Center ready to talk with us. Hey, Cynthia.
Good afternoon. I guess my only comment is I don't think it is always the way you're saying it is, that it falls to the female. I'm a former kindergarten and four-year-old kindergarten teacher, and I've seen child care rearing really fall on the back burner, that for nobody was doing it, and nobody was doing a really good job of it. And what I see in my own family, my one son that has two children, he does all the cooking, and he does the drop-off and pick-up of the children at daycare, and he's with them at night until they go to bed while his wife is working. So it isn't always the female that's doing the mental lifting.
Cynthia, thanks for that point. And Allison, we can circle back to the idea that this is overall what we're seeing, and certainly there are exceptions here.
Exactly. So Cynthia is correct to point out that this dynamic that I've described does not by any means apply to every family. However, the families that I've studied, who are mostly college-educated, heterosexually partnered with young children, the vast majority, so about 85%, were female-led for cognitive labor. And that leaves the 15% who are doing something different, whether that's sharing it equally or putting more on the male partner's plate. And in ongoing work, I'm looking more closely at those non-traditional couples and trying to see what sets them apart from the mainstream.
And even if you decide and make good on that in a heterosexual relationship and you share the mental workload, that doesn't mean everybody else will respect that. I will just tell you that I think all of our children's teachers have meant well. And there are times that I am the only one that gets an email, and not my husband, when it's certainly something that, you know, requires one of our attention, and he might be more available than I am that day. So certainly sometimes things are just directed at the women in the family that men aren't in the loop on.
Exactly. There's often, we're embedded in these broader structures, right? We don't get to just decide everything in our own nuclear family and then, you know, get the rest of the world to sort of fall in line. As you point out, I hear from many of my non-traditional respondents that they get pushback from, you know, parents or in-laws who are confused about why he's doing it instead of her. Or they get the emails or the phone calls when the child is sick and needs to be picked up from school, right? Rather than starting with the father, if they put that preference first, they call the mom because that's just what usually happens. So even if you are trying really hard in your own relationship to pursue this equity, it's likely that there will be some bumps in the road and external obstacles.
If people listening right now go, you know what, I feel this deeply, what is an initial step that they can take, recognizing that everyone's relationship is different?
The first thing I usually recommend to people is to sit down with your spouse or your partner and talk about what it is that each of you are doing. I think you can't reallocate or change things until you're both clear on what work, cognitive, emotional, physical, goes into maintaining your household and your family. And in the process of figuring out what work is involved and who is doing what, you may see some imbalances. And if that is not in line with the way that you'd like to be in your relationship, then you can start thinking about, okay, what is one thing that I am doing that my partner might be able to take over? And it's important here not to just think about individual tasks, like dropping the kids off at soccer practice, but to think about everything that's involved in getting to that point. So that might be things like registering for the soccer league. That might be things like making sure that the uniform is cleaned and that snacks have been prepared. So being very specific about exactly what is entailed in that one small task can really help with getting you to a more equitable place.
Allison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Allison Dominger is a doctoral student in sociology and social policy at Harvard University. Her work focuses on how societal inequalities affect family dynamics.